I'm interviewing today Nancy Tingey, who really is a pioneer in developing art as a therapy that has profound consequences for anyone currently experiencing the neurological symptoms of Parkinson's disease. And in short order, in just 20 minutes ago, I received two emails that I want to read before I begin my interview with Nancy. The first email says the following, quote, I was delighted to read your article regarding art as a part of a therapy for Parkinson's. I fell ill with a liver illness 3 years ago, and then, subsequently, Parkinson's was attributed to my behavior and have followed your writings for a few months now, thanks to a recommendation from a friend. I wish to totally endorse the advantages of becoming involved with art in whatever way the individual finds comfortable with. I have always loved sketching in a very amateur way, but now I no longer work. Find that using my mind and hands on delicate work, I can control my shaking and can concentrate for longer. Television and books I find difficult, but I now can work from home creating art to give me some income, but more importantly for me, a sense of purpose. So please, I hope that others will look at what I am achieving and endeavor, as you suggest, to use this form of expression in their therapy. A second email from Norm. I just noticed your show concerning PD and art. Just to let you know that my wife, who is in the early stages of PD, is very much involved in art, and she considers it to be a kind of meditation that has helped her immensely. This is in addition to her Tai Chi and 4 to 5 times of swimming. My wife tells me that when she is engrossed in her artwork, she forgets about everything and just lets things flow. You can check out her artwork at, and write down this website because I've looked at it and her work is absolutely amazing. The website is azergo.com. That's spelled AZERGO.com, as well as another website where you can see her work, which is www.sketch.travel.com. And now to my interview with, again, the pioneer who has really developed a program that has had amazing results for individuals currently experiencing the neurological symptoms associated with a diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. I'm Robert Rogers from Parkinson's Recovery, and my guest today is Nancy Tingey from Australia. Nancy, tell us all about yourself.
Well, hi, Robert. It's great to be on your show. Thanks for inviting me. I came to Australia in 1971 with my husband, who was a geologist working, just started working in Antarctica. And that was his passion. But when we got to, 1986, 87, he was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, and he was only 46. After he'd been, struggling with his work and Parkinson's and so on for a few years, he became president of the local support group. And I was supposed to, help him in some way. I couldn't think what was the best way of doing it. But my background is an artist, practicing artist, art curator, and educator, working in art schools. I'd also worked a lot with adults who had come to painting late in life, and I loved that sort of work because that was really rewarding. People were so excited about discovering something that they didn't think they could do. And I thought, well, there's no reason why people with Parkinson's can't paint. I know people talk about tremor, but the whole thing about doing something that they don't think they can do, or if we set it up correctly, I'm sure that we can do this. So I offered to start an art group, and I started with two people, and that led to, I got the grant, of course, and they said I had to have 12 people. So anyway, I started with two, and then shortly after that, I managed to get 12 people altogether. That was after exhibiting the bit of work that my small group had done in the first place, and people realizing that it wasn't difficult, that it was about expressing themselves in color, in getting their ideas on paper, but it was more than that. My background wasn't in art therapy, and I began to realize that I needed some kind of training in art therapy. I applied for a Churchill Fellowship, and that took me all over the world, including America, looking at art as a therapy for Parkinson's. And I began to realize that there was something very specific going on here, that you were actually using painting or things related to that or any kind of creative process was actually using the brain in a different way from the stressful ways that we have to use our brain during the day, like thinking about what we're going to have to dinner or whether I can get on that bus or how to get across to the other side of the room. And in fact, the creative path didn't seem to have been interfered with by Parkinson's problems. And the other thing was that if I looked at what was happening with Parkinson's, which was how to resolve things by taking things one step at a time and just be working in a very sort of linear way, you could actually circumvent a lot of the problems. So if we did that with painting, so if we put a mark on the paper, that would lead to another mark. It was a bit like putting your foot down to make your first step. If you can do that and then put the next foot down and gradually, perhaps with a prompt, like going over a marker on the floor, get yourself to the other side of the room. If we applied that principle to painting, there was no reason why people with Parkinson's couldn't paint as well as anybody else. Now, I realize that's not actually giving you a lot of background about myself. I'm nearly 70. And I've been working with this group 17 years, but before I came to Australia in 71, I'd spent what would be now nearly half my life in England. I guess that a lot of the work I do is informed by my experiences in living in two countries. And as a practicing artist, I took a master's degree in exactly that, which was about working through the issues in my artwork to do with living in two countries. And I completed that process of work, which took about 20 years. Earlier this year, and it made me realize how very important it is to work through issues, not just block them up, not just put them on one side, but if there is something that's really bothering you, then you have to keep pursuing it. And I guess, in a way, that's what we're doing with this Parkinson's thing, isn't it? We're trying to improve quality of life, and we're not going to stop. We're going to keep on at it and not give in to the people who say that all the money should be spent on medication and research. That we should be also looking at how people get through the day until we get that cure. And I guess I'm part of that program.
Does your husband participate in your art therapy program?
He certainly does. And he's, obviously, as explained earlier, he's a scientist. And the amazing thing was that after the original class that I ran, which just had the two people in it, he said he would come and join the group. And I think it was really to support me for numbers. But he took to it like a duck to water, and he's been participating in groups here and in England, because we went back there for a few years, where I started group with the Parkinson's disease of the United Kingdom. He's been working with the group for 17 years. Although he's now very late stage Parkinson's, 25 years plus, he can still paint. And it's the most extraordinary thing to see him in his wheelchair, perhaps falling asleep for a while, waking up for a while, but then having a half hour where he's very creative, and people get excited by what he does. We still exhibit his work. He thinks of it as a can-do thing for people who've had most of their can-do things taken away, and this replaces the passions that that they can no longer follow.
When he became involved with your program at the very beginning, 17 or so years ago, yes. Had he done artwork before?
I'd never seen him picked up a paintbrush of any kind. Of course, I was the one, you see, who had the studio and who was exhibiting and who was the artist, and he was the scientist. And I used to do a lot of work with the kids too, but, you know, that was not his thing. And he wrote papers and he lectured. And he was a member of the Commonwealth Government in Australia. He was their representative in Canberra for sending Antarctic teams down. And he edited the Geology of Antarctica for the Oxford University Press. So he was an academic, really, and a scientist and a geologist out in the field. And it had never occurred to him to paint. That wasn't his thing. If anything, I would think he would probably thought that was a fairly sissy thing to do, because he came from a very male-dominated background. And he still is a bit worried about poetry. But he'd always been passionately interested in music and loved classical music. And because his hearing is still perfect, you know, he gets huge pleasure out of that. I was just thinking about that this morning, that that's something that I really ought to build on more for him, get him more CDs, because he plays and plays and plays his CDs and his music. His eyesight is faulty now through the Parkinson's, and we've had him checked out by a specialist, who an ophthalmologist who looks at Parkinson's disease. And he said, well, really, there's nothing more than beginning. It's nothing to do with the glasses that he's got. It is to do with the problems that have come to do with the Parkinson's symptoms. So, it's, you know, so what he's seeing on that page, I've no idea, but it doesn't really matter because he just loves using the colour. And his work is abstract, but he knows what he wants to do when he's setting out to paint, and he continues with that programme till he's finished. I've found on the whole that people with Parkinson's are pretty obsessive and they're pretty determined, and once they've made that first mark, they will continue working on that piece until they get what they want, which is a pretty amazing process to see. They're not easily diverted, and we're trying to make sure that they're not diverted, and we try to make sure that they're not interrupted. And we are there in the art class to make sure that, you know, when the water needs changing, we know that. When they have difficulty with some tool that they're using, then we've come up with other options. We make sure that the paints are clean and clear and in an easily accessible space and they don't get knocked over and so on. But we found, really, on the whole, as long as people were given the right environment and the right help to do what they wanted, they could work in as well as anybody else. When you see a Parkinson's painting group in our centre, which is part of the Botanic Gardens, actually, in Canberra, it's a disability area, when that is centred down, which is about halfway through the session, it's amazing. The concentration is very intense. You wouldn't think that any of them had Parkinson's to look at them, even though a couple of them are in wheelchairs and others of them have walker frames and so on.